Good morning. Welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Pastor Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here, and just excited to have you guys here. It's always a blessing to be able to spend Sundays with you guys, and we've already had a full morning filled with worship. We heard an amazing testimony by our sister Yesenia. I just want to encourage her to keep doing what God is doing. He's moving and doing some awesome things. Man, just really a powerful testimony, and I think just really a privilege to be able to be coming alongside her in the journey that God has her on, and just keep her in prayer as God is continuing to reveal to her how he's going to use her and her testimony to build up his kingdom. It really was just a blessing to be able to witness and be a part of that. And sister has an amazing gift of teaching. And so, you know, we want to keep encouraging everybody here in the church to grow, but really I was encouraged and motivated by her testimony, and just really want to also thank everybody that contributed towards Jasmine's care package / going away to college basket. Really was a blessing to be able to give her those gift cards and all those little things that were in that gift bag, and just to pray for her and keep praying for her, because these next couple of weeks are going to be hard. You know, change is always hard, transition is hard for families. And we know it's all part of the process of growing and maturation, but keep her in prayer. We're very proud of her. We're very proud of the accomplishments that she's had. And we know that God is moving and going to continue to have her hand over her as she goes away to Azusa Pacific to pursue this next stage of her education. But also keep my brother and Rose, Giselle and JD in your prayers as they're going through the transitions as well, because the whole family is impacted by it. But we've had a full morning already, and so, man, I could almost just have a stand up and close in prayer, but we still need to get into God's Word, and that's what we're going to do this morning. So, and today's message ties in really well with the testimony you heard from our sister Yesenia, and so we're going to jump right into it. The title of today's message is called Faith in Adversity, and we're going to be learning and hearing about how God moved and used two powerful men in the Bible to demonstrate their faith in a very trying times and a very difficult situation and circumstance. And so if you have your handout, you're probably noticing that I'm talking about the Paul and Silas. And we're going to be covering some ground and talking about their time when they were imprisoned. And we're going to be reading out of the book of Acts. And we're going to dive into this story and look at the key points about how that highlight God's faithfulness and his power in adversity. And he calls us to be faithful in those times. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading out of the book of Acts. Now, you guys all know, before we start the scripture, or before we dive right into it, I usually like to give you guys context about the passage, either before or after. So if you guys can throw the screen up, throw the map up on the screen. I'm going to show and highlight the path where we were, or when this passage was written. So Acts chapter 16, if you guys don't know, it always comes after Acts 15. So Acts 15 does a good job of building up this particular passage. And what is happening in the context of Acts 15 and 16 is that Paul is in the middle of his second missionary journey. And you'll read, for example, in Acts 15, that he met Timothy at Lystra, and that he went on and he prayed. And as he was praying, it appeared to him that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and guided him to pursue on going up to Macedonia. And that is where the city of Philippi is located. Now, for those of you that like to read the Bible and you guys have some favorite chapters or some favorite epistles, you guys will recognize that Philippi is where the Philippians live. And so this particular passage is written, or the book of Acts that we're going to read, is capturing his secondary missionary journey in which the church at Philippi was planted. So it's really a cool little piece of context and a cool little piece of history as we dive right into what is happening in Acts chapter 16. So let's turn to Acts 16, and we're going to pick up in verse 16. So Acts 16, 16, and it says, "Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. All at once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his house were baptized. The jailer brought them to his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole house. When it was daylight, the magistrate sent to their officers the jailer with orders. "Release those men," the jailer told Paul. "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No, let them come themselves and escort us." The officer reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escort them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. Amen. So this is an amazing testimony, an amazing part of scripture where we see two men that are serving God, that are doing his will, that are thrown unjustly into prison without even a trial. And so as you're reading this, you can see that this is an amazing correlation about how God is calling us to be faithful, even in times of adversity. The first fill in the blank for today's message is that we can take from this particular passage we just read, is that as followers, God calls us to remain faithful to persecution and trials. You see, Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel in Philippi when they encountered this opposition. A slave girl that was filled with the Spirit, as we look at, she was being used by her owners for fortune telling, and people were paying her. And so she followed them for days at a time. Actually, I think this is pretty hilarious. She kept following them and say, "These two men are telling you the way to be saved. These two men are telling you the way to be saved," over and over again, day after day. And Paul finally gets frustrated and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave." And finally, the Spirit does leave. Now, of course, the owners now are going to be impacted, and they're going to lose their way of making money. So they get frustrated and they falsely accuse Paul and Silas to the magistrates of inciting riots and believing things that, you know, going against the Roman customs. And they were beaten and flogged, thrown in jail, and locked up. Now you can imagine, I always say, like, listen, when things are happening When we're following God, one of the things that we need to know very upfront, right, is that our life isn't necessarily always going to be easy because we're following what God wants us to do. In fact, sometimes we're going to follow, when we are following God and we're being obedient, sometimes things are going to happen to us in life that are unjust and unfair. And for us, our call is to continue to be faithful to what God is wanting to do, because we are going to have these situations in life. Despite facing these persecution and hardship, what we can learn from Paul and Silas is that they still did what God wanted them to do. They were actually doing his will. And so if you find yourself today where you says, you know, I am a believer, I'm doing all these things, I'm doing the things that happen to be right, I'm going to church, I'm going to community group, I'm serving, I'm helping, I'm giving, I'm tithing, I'm participating, I'm praying, I'm doing all these things, you got to keep doing those things. But here's the reality of it. Doing what God has called us to do and being obedient does not make us exempt from trials and hardships of life. In fact, I want you to even to jot this particular scripture down, and it's not in today's handout, but it's John 16:33. And this is Jesus himself that is telling his disciples, and as he's giving a message, he says, in this life, you will have trouble, but do not fear, because I have overcome the world. And that's Jesus himself telling us that in this life, you're going to encounter some hardship. In this life, you're going to go through some challenges. In this life, you're going to have a little bit of pain and suffering. None of us are exempt from the challenges that we face in life, whether it's a financial issue, relationship problems, conflict, unforgiveness, addictions. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have these things and we're not going to encounter this. And to live is a struggle. You know, this is definitely a spiritual battle between the flesh and the spirit. It's almost like Paul tells us in the book of Romans. It's that constant battle, that push and pull that we have to battle, engage. And we know and we recognize that we have to be prepared. And so what we can learn from today's message is, listen, we might be going through something. We might be in the middle of a challenge or a trial. But if we look at Paul and Silas, none of us, and I doubt it, have gone through a situation where we have been falsely imprisoned, where we have been beaten with rods and thrown into jail. And in fact, they were even shackled in the inner part of their innermost cell to make sure that they couldn't escape. But we can take encouragement and take a lesson there that God is faithful despite the situation, despite the circumstance, that God is always faithful. The second thing that we need to learn, and it's the second fill in the blank for today, is yeah, in life we may encounter situations that are unfair and unjust, right? We learn that again from the beginning part of this passage, because it says the owners of the slave girl were upset that the source of money was gone. And so they seized Paul and Silas, and they dragged them before the authorities. They were falsely accused, beaten severely, and thrown into prison with chains. Now, why did God allow that to happen to them? I mean, the Holy Spirit himself had guided them and told them to go there. And because of their obedience and listening to the Holy Spirit guiding Paul to go into Macedonia, to Philippi, now they're in jail. Now they've been beaten. Now they're chained up. And so if you find yourself in a situation right now where maybe you're answering the call, you're doing what God has called you to do, and you're saying, God, I'm being obedient, and this is what happens to me? You're going to be tempted to do one of two things. You're probably going to have a lot of anxiety, right, if we're honest. And how many of you guys, your first response would be to be angry, or to have anxiety, or to be upset, or to throw yourself a pity party. And that's kind of the natural human response. But we do have a decision to make here. We have a decision maker, because Paul and Silas could have definitely pulled the victim card. They could have said, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? I'm doing what God has wanted me to do. And look at where this has gotten to. They even could have been fighting with each other, because Silas could have turned around and said, like, hey, Paul, look what you got us into. I mean, that might be common. Like, if you look at your spouse or you look at your kids, oftentimes when things go wrong, what tends to happen, right? The enemy's a liar. You start to get frustrated. And if you hadn't done this, or if you hadn't done that, those are all lies and attack, and it's an outer attack. And we're, again, it's a spiritual battle that we're in the middle of. But Paul and Silas weren't arguing with each other. In fact, they had a decision to make. And in the middle of this amazing trial, in the middle of this crazy adversity that they were in, they chose to do something else. And that's what we're going to pick up. Because the third point in today's sermon and today's message is that we have a decision to make. And that is that in the hardship, we can give into despair and throw a pity party and be upset, or we can respond by praying and praising God. See, instead of succumbing to despair, Paul and Silas turned to prayer and worship. And that's probably the opposite thing that we will do. When we're in the middle of the storm, we're in the middle of the trial, when we find ourselves bound in chains, the first thing we're going to do is probably go through the five stages, right? You're going to be upset, depressed, anger. Then you might come to terms and you might accept it. But that's the natural progression. We do have a decision to make. And remember that we serve a God who is for us, who is faithful, who will never leave us or forsake us. And so instead of succumbing to that, Paul and Silas turned to prayer and worship. They prayed and they sang hymns to God, even in the middle of their suffering. See, their suffering and the situation and circumstance didn't determine the size of their worship. They knew that their worship and didn't determine the size of their God. And so what it did is it turned that situation. It says, you know, hey, this is the situation we're in. We're going to praise God. We're going to worship him. We're going to pray to him. And these actions demonstrate a profound trust in God's sovereignty and in his goodness. And so in the same way, when we're in the middle of the storm, we have a decision to make. Are we going to decide to throw a pity party for ourselves? Are we going to decide that we're going to be angry or upset? Are we going to be denial about it? Are we going to be blaming somebody else for the situation that we find ourselves? Because the reality of it is, none of those things are going to be productive. In fact, they're counterproductive. And what we want to do is make sure that we stay grounded in our faith. As we understand that as we're going through the trial, it is a trial most often that brings us closer to God. It's the trial itself. If you can reflect back on your own salvation, your own testimony, what is the thing that brought your faith that tested it? You see, I'm a big believer that if you go through life and you have no problems, you have no issues, everything in your life is great, you're blessed, you have the best health, the best job, you have all the material wealth and possession, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a really hard time depending on God, because in your life, you're going to say, well, I don't really need God. I have enough. I can depend on myself. And that is a lie from the enemy himself. And it's one of the greatest challenges of reaching people in the West and the country that we live in, like the United States, where we're so blessed with abundance that people believe in the vapor and the lies that we're okay, that we're self-dependent, and that it's easy to propagate the lie that we're self-made. In fact, that is nothing could be farther from the truth, because we know that we are made in God's image, in his likeness. We have a purpose. We have a code that we have to uphold morally. And we know that when we trust in God, we know where we're going. Now, on the flip side, the world will sell you a bill of goods that will, at the end of the day, leave you brokenhearted and sad. And when the Bible tells us, will lead you into a place of eternal damnation. But we can thank God for the person of Jesus Christ. We can thank God that Jesus comes in to save us from all these things. But the other thing that we recognize, right, as we go through, is that there's a bigger story that is happening here. There's a bigger story that is happening and is being woven in this particular situation and circumstance, because God was doing something amazing by allowing Paul and Silas to be falsely imprisoned, by allowing them to be chained. And then, as you can see, something happens and God steps in an amazing way. And so we get to the fourth fill in the blank. And the fourth fill in the blank for today says, when we pray, we invite God to intervene. See, after Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped, God intervened miraculously. There was a great earthquake, and that shook the foundations of the prison, and all the doors opened and loosened everyone's chains. And the jailer, when he woke up to see what was going on after the earthquake, right, it was the middle of the night, he rushes and he assumed that all the prisoners had escaped, and he was about to kill himself out of fear for what the Roman government would do for him. Now, Paul and Silas said, hey, don't do it. We're here. We're all still here, as a matter of fact. And that was an amazing testimony to the jailer himself. He couldn't believe, right? This is something supernatural. This is something that men that are not walking with God would not do. I mean, if you were in that situation, realistically, if the earth, if you were, again, hopefully you're not in prison, but if you're praying and there's an earthquake and your chains fall off, you probably would say, hey, man, this is God wanting me to escape. I am gone, right? That's not what Paul and Silas did. They probably knew that the jailer would have been killed. And so they stayed there and said, hey, don't harm yourself. We're still here. In fact, they had nothing. They were not guilty. So they didn't have nothing to run from. But it's amazing how God used that situation and circumstance, because when they prayed, they invited God to intervene. And so in our lives, when we pray, we're asking God to intervene. We're bringing it up to the utmost high, the author and the creator of the universe. When he speaks, the universe bursts into existence. That's our God. And so, yes, when we are in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the storm, we need to remember who we belong to. Remember who is for us. Remember his scripture. We can sing songs of adoration and worship and pray to him and invite him to intervene. And we're always seeking God's will, right? Like the Lord's Prayer. We magnify him for who he is. And then we pray that his will would be done in situation and circumstance. And God will answer. Now, sometimes, if we're honest, it's not in our timeline, but it's in God's time. And so God will answer the prayer often in different ways. But our job is to be faithful through the storm, faithful through the trial, faithful through the adversity, and call out to him. And he's always there. He's always there to listen. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient. The trial that we're in isn't a surprise to God. In fact, he's always weaving different things in our lives, different situations and circumstances, all for his honor and for his glory. And the other thing that we need to be aware of is that God will allow certain things to happen to our lives to build our testimony, to build our faith. Because the reality of it is, in this particular story, if Paul and Silas are not chained, right, are not chained into the prison, there would be no way for us to know and give glory to him for the earthquake that happened. There would be no way for us to recognize that he broke those chains. In our own lives, as we reflect and we look at our journey, we look around us, we know that if we're honest, everyone in here has suffered some type of, has been in chains of somehow. Now, it could be chains of depression. It could be chains of anxiety. It could be chains of unforgiveness. It could be chains of lust. It could be chains of pornography. It could be chains of inappropriate relationships. It could be chains of addiction. And if it were not for those things that happen in our life, that sometimes we make poor decisions or things happen to us, and we're enslaved by these things and enslaved by the situation, enslaved by our sin. If it were not for those things, how would we recognize that God is who he says he is? Like the song that we sing, that he is a chain breaker and a way maker. And so we have to recognize and give God the glory and the praise, even in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the trial, in the middle of being chained by those things, because God is the one who has the power to set us free. He sets us free through the person of Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in him, we can be free from all the things that I just listed. Anxiety, depression, that lust, that addiction to porn, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drug, unforgiveness, our pride. He breaks all of those chains so that we can be set free and have the possibility to be filled with hope and filled with love and filled with all the fruits of the Spirit, thing that he promises, because God is for us. Jesus Christ has come to set us free. And the scriptures tell us who the Son has set free is free indeed. And so we can be thankful today for the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross to set us free from all those things, to set us free from our bondage, because we can claim that. We know we know what Jesus did on the cross. We know the sacrifice and why he did it. He made it so that we can be forgiven of our sins and have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And he promised us in John 14 that he would send a helper, that he would send a counselor, and that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so not only does he do all these things for us, he sets us free, he makes us a way to be redeemed back to the Father, but he also gives us an amazing gift in the Holy Spirit by doing so. So he tells his disciples in 14 that he had to leave, John 14, that he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come, the counselor could come. And I'll tell you what, as you learn more and more, and as you grow as a Christian, and maybe you start to dabble and learn more about world religions, the Christian faith is the only one that will tell you that God himself will come to live within you. You won't find that in any other worldview, any other religion, except for Christianity. That's why it's so unique. That's why when you are filled with Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you really start to hear that inner voice. You hear it. I don't know, people will call it, oh, that's your subconscious. No, the Holy Spirit prompts us, the still, quiet voice that is prompting us and guiding us on our journey, that speaks to us the words that Jesus wants us to speak, right? And so we can know and trust the God that when we're going through the trials, we're going through the situation, it is so he can build his glory. Because ultimately, there's going to come a time where your testimony is going to be needed to give God the glory. Your testimony is going to be needed to share the good news and share the goodness of what God has brought you out of. You may not be in a physical prison. You may not be bound by shackles the way that Paul and Silas were. But if you recall in your life, you were bound by some type of addiction, some type of chain, some type of sin. And you can give God the glory by sharing how he set you free. See, when we pray and we accept Jesus and we surrender these things, he is who he says he is. He is the chain breaker. Now for myself, my own testimony, I got saved on February 21st of 2010. And I will tell you, it happened to me at March 16th of 2010 when I was at Man Camp. See, I got saved and I gave my life to the Lord, and it's a little bit of my testimony. But it wasn't until I finally surrendered, I was struggling still. I gave my life to the Lord. I said, yes, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, I'm going to give my heart to you. I'm going to follow you. I don't know. I can't quite wrap my brain around it. I can't comprehend what I'm feeling in my heart. But I'm calling and I'm going to trust you. And I was working these things out, and I was listening to four sermons on the way to work, because I used to commute 2 hours each way. And I would listen to four sermons on the way back, and I was going through all these things and processing. And I finally had to get right with Jesus. I said, Jesus, I'm still struggling with these things. I'm still struggling with this unforgiveness and this pride. And I'm still struggling with these things that are holding me back from my walk with you. If you are who you say you are, I need you to take these from me. And I'll tell you, as sure as I'm standing here, that Jesus showed up and he freed me from those things that day. It's probably the day that I felt the most peace, greater peace than when I gave to my life, because I finally surrendered the thing that was holding me back, the shackles that were enchaining me, the shackles that were holding me back, even with my walk with him. And it was just a moment of peace and of clarity. And when I tell the story, I still get goosebumps because I remember exactly what Jesus freed me from. And I'm telling you, Jesus will do that for you today. We have to trust in him fully and understand that he came to set us free. And that's what he's showing us. And that's what we're taking away from this message and this passage from Paul and Silas, is that he came to break those chains. But we have to surrender it to him, and we have to pray and invite him to intervene. Now, the fifth fill in the blank for today's message is, our trials can lead to salvation, transformation, and witness to God's glory. Again, our trials lead to salvation, transformation, and witness to God's glory. See, what happened here was an amazing thing, that as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns in the middle of the night, there was an earthquake. The jailer came running and he said, for sure, I'm done. I'm dead. The Roman government is going to come down on me. All these prisoners escaped, especially these two who they told me to make sure that they stay here. Now, he stopped him. And this is genuinely something that Paul is a man of integrity. He wasn't mad. He wasn't upset. He didn't blame the jailer for his situation and circumstance. He knew that it was God's will for this to happen. But what's important and what's really powerful is that the jailer comes in, and the first thing that he asks him, he says, what must I do to be saved? See, as we're going through, that was something that was almost an event that for him was, he couldn't wrap his brain around. It wasn't a human response. He couldn't believe it was happening. And in our own life, as we trust God, as people around us start to see the chains broken and the prison doors open in our life, and we start to live the abundant life, the blessed life that Jesus has for us, we start to become filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, people will start to take notice. And that's an invitation that they're going to start asking questions. And what they're really asking is, what must I do to be saved? They might ask questions about, why is your marriage so healthy? Why are your kids so, I mean, we hope to say, why are your kids so well behaved? Yeah, sometimes they act like circus animals, but why are they so behaved for the most part? They may ask us things as like, why do you have so much peace and joy in your life? And the real thing without saying is we need to decode that and say, they're really asking is, what must I do to be saved? See, ultimately, all of the things that we just described are fruits of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to be able to recognize that in our conversations with people, with our friends and family, with folks that we interact with in the world. We should be the salt and the light. And we should be attracting people to Jesus Christ. Just as the same way that the jailer was attracted. And he says, and he came to Paul and Silas and said, what must I do to be saved? And they told him, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And they taught him and they read from him the scriptures. And what was really cool from that is not only was the jailer saved, but immediately that night, his whole house, his family, and his household was saved too. And I love that what you see there in the scripture in today's passage as well is that not only were they saved, they got baptized that same night. So, we see it time and time again. When we believe, we got to get baptized right away. I know sometimes we'll say, well, wait till the sign-up sheet is in the back. No, if you have believed, the next step is you baptize. You see that time and time again in the book of Acts. And I love that about that. They got baptized in the middle of the night because they put their faith in Jesus Christ. They got baptized, professed that, hey, I don't belong to the world anymore. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. What an amazing testimony. And so these trials, that the trial that Paul and Silas endured in jail, false imprisonment, and being beaten and chained, led to the salvation and the transformation and witness to God's glory. And in the same way for us, that is how God is going to use our trials and situation to hopefully bring salvation and transformation and witness to God's glory, to our friends and family, to the people in the community that know us. And so I'm going to leave you guys with this. God is sovereign. God is good. He is not surprised by our trials. He is not surprised when we go through a tough time. We might feel like sometimes, even when we're being obedient, that we're being falsely imprisoned or that terrible things are happening to us. But God is faithful to get us through it. He is an amazing God, and he's weaving all the situations and trials and issues and heartaches for his own glory. Our life is not our own. Our life is to build up the kingdom. Our life is to be an act of worship to him. And our life, as we know it here on earth, is very short. And so there's just but a testing phase, a part where we build up our testimony to God's glory. And we know that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to walk alongside him, to worship him forever in eternity. And we know that we also, on this side of heaven, get to see what it looks like to be filled with peace and with love and joy and hope and self-control, all the fruits of the Spirit. So this morning, we can take faith. We can remember that we have a God that is big, and he's calling us to have faith in adversity. We need to maintain our faithfulness to God, even in difficult situations and circumstance, and trust that he is in control. We need to remember that prayer and worship is key in our times of trouble, that we can turn to prayer and we can worship together and strengthen our faith and invite God's presence into our life and invite God to intervene in that situation. And we know that out of all of this, we have to be faithful, that we know that we are going to be given a witness to Christ, that our actions and responses to adversity serve as a powerful testimony to those around us, and we could lead them to inquire about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Again, even the darker moment of our lives, we know that our job is to bring about his purpose and glorify his name, that we might face challenges and hardships, but let us remember to trust in God's sovereignty and to pray without ceasing, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's my prayer that all of us, like Paul and Silas, we can be bold witnesses for Christ to share his love and salvation in a world that's desperately in need. And so I'm going to read to you guys one more little passage. I'm going to close with this. It's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it's going to be verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And it parallels this particular passage that we just read. Because it says, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you share in our comfort. And we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experience in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we felt despair of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He had delivered us from such a deadly peril, that he will deliver us again. And on him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then, by many, we will give thanks on behalf for our graciousness. Then, many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." And the main verse that I want to highlight from this passage as we close is that Paul is referencing this chapter that we just read in Acts 16, in 2 Corinthians. In verse 9 it said, "Indeed, we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who has delivered us from deadly, who raises the dead, and he's delivered us from deadly peril, and he will deliver us again." Amen. The message is clear there. That Paul is not surprised, that he says this happened to us so that we wouldn't rely on our own strength, but that would rely on God, that God is faithful, that God shows up, that God will save us from peril, that God even raises us to dead, and he will do it again. And it's just adding to his power, adding to his testimony, and everything that we do is an opportunity, even in the trial, even in the storm, to glorify God and to give witness to his goodness. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us this opportunity to gather to worship. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God. We thank you for the testimony of what you've been doing in our sister Yesenia's life, Lord. Pray that you continue to guide her, protect her, mold her, guide her steps, Lord. And just thank you again, Lord, for your faithfulness to her, Lord. What an amazing testimony and witness that she gave, Lord. It tied perfectly into today's message. Lord God, we continue to pray for Jasmine, continue to pray for my brother's family, Lord God. Protect her, guide her, be with her, strengthen her in her walk, Lord God. And Lord, also help my brother and his family through this transition, Lord God, as they're dealing with having Jasmine away. But we know that your plans are for her, to protect her, Lord God, to give her a hope and a future. So we're going to trust her, Lord God, as she's going on in this next phase. We're excited for what she's going to do, Lord, to continue to build up your kingdom. Lord, for the rest of us, Lord God, help us to continue to walk with you. Help us to recognize that if we are going through a trial, if we're going through adversity, Lord God, you want us to be faithful. You want us to turn to you in prayer. You want us to turn to you in praise. Lord, you are adding to our testimony, to our witness. Lord God, if some of us are bound by chains right now, Lord God, those chains of pain, of fear, of addiction, of unforgiveness, of pride, Lord God, I pray right now that we would surrender that to you. Lord God, you are the one that could set us free. Help us to find that freedom in you, Lord Jesus. It is my true prayer that everybody here would just continue to walk steadily and know, like Lord Jesus, you said, that in this life we're going to have troubles, but we can have confidence and know that you've overcome the world. And when we trust you fully, Lord God, we know that you're building our testimony, you're giving glory to yourself. And so thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the trial, Lord God. I know that's hard to say, but there's no way that our faith is going to grow without us being tested, without us persevering. And like Paul says today in this today's scripture, we know that we go through the trial and that you allow it so that we can not trust in our own strength, but we can trust in you and know that you are the God that is faithful, the God that raises people from the dead, and the God that will do it again. So continue to guide us and keep us safe. Watch over our family and over our home. Lord God, thank you again for the opportunity to serve you and to know you. Watch over us and keep us, Lord God. Break us free, Lord God, from these chains, Lord God. Help us to live for you and to build our testimony, Lord, to just magnify and lift you up and give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord, in all that we do. Lord God, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.